Isaiah chapter 53, if you will, please. Isaiah chapter 53, and we want to begin with verse 3, going through verse 6. The title of the message tonight is Don't Waste Your Sorrows. Don't waste your troubles, your sorrows that you go through in life. Isaiah reminds us, and I believe he's talking about Jesus here, that he was a man of sorrows. Isaiah 53, follow as I read, beginning with verse 3, referring to Christ. He is despised and rejected of men. Notice this next phrase, a man of sorrows. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. John 16:20, don't turn there, but I'll read it. Verily, verily, John said, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Thank God that is true. Jesus was a man of sorrows. Now, if we're going to be like Jesus, and we should want to be like Jesus, correct? We should want to be like him. So if we're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're going to have to understand some heartaches and heartbreaks, because that's the way he was. He was a man of sorrows. I want to be like him. And that means that sorrow is going to come to my life, and God is going to allow it. Alexander McLaren, one of the great spiritual leaders of yesterday, made this statement. He's talking about if we'll let them, sorrows can help us out. And I want to read what he said, because it's a beautiful, beautiful bit of literature. He says, blow us to his breast. That's what sorrows will do. Blow us to his breast as a strong wind might sweep a man into some refuge from itself. I'm sure there are many who can thankfully attest that they were brought nearer to God by some short, sharp sorrow than by long days of prosperity. Take care that you do not waste your sorrows, that you do not let the precious gifts of disappointments, pain, loss, loneliness, ill health, or similar afflictions that come into your daily life mar you instead of mending you. See that they send you nearer to God, and not that they drive you further from him. I think that's a beautiful, beautiful statement that he made. He understood the purpose of sorrowing and what God wanted to use it for in my life, in your life. Don't waste your sorrows. Someone said the world's greatest blessings have come out of its greatest sorrows. I believe that. The world's greatest blessings have come out of the world's greatest sorrows. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 4:17, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, just for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We have some sorrows in this life, don't we? There's the sorrow of death. That's a very trying and difficult time. Death is the world's most crowded freeway. Death is inevitable. We live long enough, we're going to die. If you live long enough, you're going to have a loved one that's going to die. A mother, a daddy, a brother, a sister, somebody. It's going to come in our life. It is a common experience, and it is a common experience to everybody that is born on God's green planet. And we'll say someday goodbye here to our loved ones and hello up there to those that are in heaven. I was talking to one of our dear saints the other day, and she's very close to death. She knows that. And she said, you know, the hard part for me, I think you were with me, Brother Rigsby. She said, the hard part for me is saying goodbye to my loved one. She said, I don't mind going to heaven, but that's the hard part. And then I said something like, yes, but there's some waiting on you up there. She smiled and said, yes, there's some waiting up there. And that's true, isn't it? There's the sorrow of death. We're going to go through that if we live long enough. And then there's the sorrow sometimes of a broken body. There's a lot of illness in this old world. I've seen some big, strong, robust, healthy men go downhill. I've seen them where they were so strong. I remember Brother Gene Arnold, who was my wife's pastor, when she got saved and surrendered to come out to Bible college. And I remember how strong a man he was. I was thinking, man, he's strong. He was about 43, 44 years of age. And I was just amazed at the strength he had, not to be a weightlifter or anything like that. He'd grab an end of a pew if we were moving them, and man, he was stout. But all of a sudden, a disease hit him, dermatomyositis. It was sort of a muscular disease. And I saw him go down, and I had to become the pastor for 1 year in that church. As he went to Duke University and went through treatments, he couldn't even lift his hand up to his mouth to eat. He had to lie in bed, and his wife would feed him maybe some scrambled eggs or something like that. Powerful man who went down. I'm glad that God raised him up later on enough that he could go ahead and preach and get back there to pastor. But all of those things happen. I've seen strong men have to use a cane and wind up in a wheelchair and all of those kinds of things. That happens. We're going to have a man here with us Sunday, Tim Lee. And Tim Lee lost both legs in Vietnam fighting for our country. But he didn't let it stop him. He's still preaching the gospel, going across this land back and forth, doing something for the glory of God, although he has a broken body. It's amazing to see. Now, he's had some problems with the rotator cuffs because he'd come up here just like a bear and just pop himself right up on this platform. But Tim Lee's a great man of God. But he didn't let that thing stop him. Broken body, loss of both legs, the sorrow of death. Sometimes there's a sorrow of disrupted plans. Sometimes we make our plans, but our plans just don't turn out the way we make those plans. There are a lot of things that disrupt our plans. There are a lot of people who had big plans and health stopped those plans. There are a lot of people that had plans for their family, but something went wrong and things did not work out. Sometimes we have plans and finances go awry and go bad on us, and we cannot follow through with those plans. Sometimes the world's conditions impact and affect some of our plans, and we're not able to carry them out. And we are humanly perhaps disappointed. And that is a sorrow that we face, disrupted plans. And yet Romans 8:28 is still true. We know that all things, even disrupted plans, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purposes. Then there's a sorrow of tragic failure. Sometimes we just absolutely have horrible and terrible failures. You know, hardship and failure are ways that God can get us back right with Him. We get out of fellowship with God sometimes, and some people do that. But God allows these tragic failures to come in their lives, and God uses those as a training ground to get them back in line to march in cadence with the imperatives of the Holy Word of God and to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Thank God He does that for us. God is good, But even in tragic failures, He uses that. He works through it. Sometimes it's a broken heart. God can use it. Sometimes it's broken health. God can use it. Sometimes it's a tragic failure, and God can use it. I'm saying tonight, these are some of the things that come in our lives, and you're thinking right now, maybe some that I did not touch on, that are some things that have come in your life. But don't waste your sorrows. First of all, let all things press you to Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what comes, whatever that experience, that sorrow, let it press you toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, didn't he? But Paul didn't let it stop him. Paul had some, we don't know what his physical problems were. We have all kinds of theories. Ophthalmia, some kind of eye disease, almost blind, whatever. Nobody really knows that for sure. But we know that Paul had some problems, and it made him weak as a human being. But Paul took it as the will of God to draw him closer to God. And he said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Thank God if we'll take the weaknesses that God allows to come in our lives and let us use those to press us toward His bosom, then our weakness can be a blessing to us and we can really be strong. Let all things press you to His side and let all things increase your spiritual strength. Let everything increase your spiritual strength. Whenever there's tragedy and trial, where are you going to find peace? Where do you find peace when your heart is crushed and your disappointments are there and all of those things? You don't find it in music. You don't find it in a concert. You're not going to find it in symphony. You're not going to find it on television. You're not going to find it somewhere in a dance hall. You're not going to find it in education. You're not going to find it in drugs and drinking out of a bottle, some liquor. You're not going to find it in an immoral lifestyle or profane lifestyle. It isn't going to be there. Where in the world are we going to find peace when we go through these things? The answer is Christ. Only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, my peace I give to you. And that's exactly what He wants us to have. And no matter what we're going through, we can find that peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, let all things glorify His name. Let all things glorify the name of the Lord. Let these problems press us toward His bosom. And let all things increase our spiritual strength, our growth in the Lord. And then let all things glorify His name. You know, some of the greatest things that have happened to some people is they've lost everything. You know that? They've just lost everything. They came to the end of their rope. And especially unsaved people. You'd say, what a tragedy. They might lose everything. No, it can be the greatest blessing in the world. Because they come to the end of themselves. They lose everything that they have. And as a result, it brings them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They are bankrupt, not only financially, maybe, and emotionally, but in every other way, and they realize, hey, there's got to be something better than all of this, and they turn to Jesus Christ and get saved. And after they get saved, what do? They give praise to the Lord. Some of the greatest testimonies are not necessarily from those who were raised in church and all. They can be good. But some of the greatest testimonies are people who had it made for a while and they were on top of the world and all of a sudden God crushed them and they recognized there was something different about life and something better in life and that nothing was as secure as knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. And when they got saved, they began to bring honor and glory. They glorified God. Then a fourth thing is let all things open your heart to others. Everything that comes in your life, every experience that is bad, tough, rough, difficult, whatever it may be, whatever it is, let whatever that experience is, that problem, that trouble in life, open your hearts to others. What happens to us when we get in trouble, usually? When we get in trouble, usually we get self-centered. We start thinking, oh, me. Oh, my problems. Oh, how terrible what I'm going through, and we begin to pity self, I'm saying to you, God says, don't waste your sorrows. And don't fall into self-pity, and don't fall into a self-centered attitude. When Christ had pain, Christ said, I know and I can understand your pain because I've had my pain. Look at Christ on the cross, as I said this morning. Look at the pain, the physical pain that Christ went through. He understands your pain tonight. He understands what you're going through. Turn it over to Him. Don't live a life of self-pity. Live a life of turning it over to the Lord and realizing that He suffered for you. He had pain. You say, well, I've been mistreated. Christ was mistreated, wasn't He? They lied on Him. They mistreated Him. They treated Him like dirt. They would throw Him out of a city. They'd try to kill Him. Judas Iscariot, whom He had as part of the 12, as if He were a friend, like Ahithophel, David's friend, turned His back on the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows what it is to be mistreated. He says, I understand you tonight. You say you have money problems. Well, let me tell you, Jesus has an answer to your problem. You have a financial reversal. Jesus is going to take care of you. You don't have to worry about it and fall into self-pity. Just keep trusting God. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. Thank God you don't have to worry about it. If you're a child of God, He's going to see that there's food on the table and you have the shelter you need and every provision is there. God's going to do that. God is the one who will take care of you. Let all things open your heart to others. And when we go through those things, maybe we can understand, just like Jesus understands us, we can understand other people and use that to empathize with them, sympathize with them, and to somehow help them out when they're going through these trials too. Instead of turning it all on ourselves, learn from it and let God use it just like Jesus used these things to help us and to bring us to a saving knowledge of Himself. Here's what God says. Don't waste your sorrows. Don't waste them. Let your tears, your trials, your disappointments, your fears, your loneliness, your failures, your weaknesses, whatever they may be, all of these burdens, let them draw you to Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight without Christ, and you're going through some trials, or you've had some trials, let me tell you, God's not trying to be mean to you, and you can't get angry at God, that's unwise, but God wants to use it to bring you to a place where you'll say, I give up, Jesus. I surrender to You. I accept You as my Lord and Savior. Let's stand, please.